it's recording. You can pause it, hit the double line if you want to.
There we go. Mute.
I'm going to speak very slowly so that here's another community. Okay. That's Pittsburgh. Bit of a funky video screen, but that's all right. So my name is Ruben Rotman. I'm the CEO of the network, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to the first of two information meetings that we are hosting today and then again next Friday for what we are calling our Jewish Poverty Challenge. I'm going to go through some logistics, talk about what we're going to do today, and tell you, we're not going to do full introductions, but I'm going to tell you that we have representatives on the call today from Minneapolis, from Houston, from Cincinnati, from South Jersey, from New Haven, from Detroit, and from Pittsburgh. And there may be others that will be joining us shortly as well. For those of you who know Zoom, you can mute yourself by hitting the mute button. Usually it's on the right corner of your video screen. If not, I may choose to mute you if there's any background noise. We also have a member of the network's board, two, three members of the network's board who are here with us today as well. So I'm gonna tell you what our agenda is for today and then introduce the presenters. I also want to let you know before I do so that there's a chat feature that we're going to be using on the lower toolbar. There's a chat icon. If you have a question, we're going to ask that you type the question in. When we are done, we are going to be preparing a list of questions and answers in written format for everybody to see. Those participating in the call today and those who weren't able to, we're going to post them on our website with a link so that everybody will have access to the same info. So the agenda that we have for today's meeting is that we're going to, our presenters, Mike and Andre, who I'll introduce in a moment, are going to speak for about a half hour, giving you an overview of the Jewish Poverty Challenge and explaining how it's going to work. And then we're going to open it up for questions. You can type your questions into the chat, as I indicated. If you don't want to type them, that's okay too, because we're going to be recording this meeting. Hey, Juliana. Buffalo has now joined our meeting. Welcome, Buffalo. So we're going to be recording this, and the recording will go out as well. After that, Mike and Andre will go through some of the logistics in terms of dates and whatnot. But before I introduce them, I just want to sort of underscore, this is what we're calling phase two of an initiative that we launched at our Atlanta conference, which was phase one. And Philadelphia is in the house. Welcome, Philadelphia. So in phase one, we introduced the Jewish Poverty Challenge at the plenary session, one of the plenary sessions in Atlanta, and Mike and Andre walked through the tools of building a pitch and coming up with a concept. And the point of phase two is to take either that concept or something completely different to a whole new level. It's a whole new phase of engagement. If you were not in attendance in Atlanta and did not participate in that session, there's no bearing on this challenge. It may help you to have been there. It doesn't necessarily hurt you that you weren't there at all. And for those of you who participated in the workshop, you're not locked into presenting the ideas that you worked on during the workshop. You could come up with something completely different, or you can build on the work that you did in Atlanta. Either is fine. So with that as background and context, I'm pleased to introduce the presenters for today. First, Andre Folks is a principal with Startco, which is a venture development organization that is based in Memphis. They work with startup technology companies, but they also have gone beyond that, and they work with municipalities and government entities and nonprofits in the field of poverty reduction, anti-poverty efforts. And so Mike helps to develop entrepreneurial responses to society's challenges. And certainly Jewish poverty is a challenge that our agencies grapple with each day. Mike Mosenter, who is our second presenter, many of you know Mike. He's been working with the network for probably about a year and a half or longer, as we have been developing our Center for Innovation and Research. Mike has spoken to more than half of our network agency leadership and lay leaders around the whole process of innovation, around identifying and developing solutions to challenges, be they client challenges or internal operations challenges. And Mike has experience in both the for-profit and nonprofit sector in startup entities and in entrepreneurship and in helping to bring the language and the culture of innovation to different settings. Mike and Andre are working as a team in the implementation of the Jewish Poverty Challenge. Mike will be probably your primary liaison, drawing in the resources of Starco and the team that Andre represents, sort of on an as-needed basis, basically. But they'll explain how that's all going to work. So with that, as the basic overview, I'm going to turn it over to Andre to begin our conversation today.
Great. Thank you, Ruben, for that. And it's great to have everybody on the call today. I'm just going to set some expectations before hopping into exactly what the program is. We understand that you all have great agencies that you're working with, and you have processes for implementing new ideas and programs and services. This is a program to provide an additional layer of support to that. Want to set some expectations in terms of, we provide entrepreneurial building practices, a path for you to walk on in terms of quickly and iteratively launching this new program or service or idea that you have. We provide a layer of accountability and triage. We're very good at triaging the information that you'll be receiving from potential customers or clients and building on top of that. We provide expertise and best practices. As Ruben had mentioned, Starco is based in Memphis, Tennessee, so I've been working in the civic sector there for over 20 years, and poverty is one of the main issues that we deal with in Memphis, Tennessee. We have toggled from being the number one impoverished community in America, probably every 4 or 5 years or so, and so this is a challenge that we work with a lot of nonprofits about in the Memphis area. Our team at Starco, just to provide a little bit more color here, is very versatile. You'll be learning a little bit more as we go through the application phase, but there's a variety of experience with the team, whether it's in nonprofit management, whether it's in design and prototyping, whether it's in building new programs and services, whether it's working with nonprofits over the past many years. So we're going to be there to work with you. It's always a messy process, and so we're here to provide a little bit more structure to this process of building that we're going to go through. I'll add in right now, been working with Mike Mosenter, as Ruben had mentioned. Mike, feel free to chime in as I kind of go through the agenda that we have laid out. So the program purpose, for this poverty challenge is really to have you come in with new ideas or programs and services. So is there something new that you've been thinking about that solves a severe problem in your community? Or is there an existing program that you have and you have a way for maybe reinventing it, tweaking it, to making it even better? We want to hear those ideas, and that's what the application is based upon. The other thing is in terms of your target clients. Obviously, this is a Jewish poverty challenge, and we are hoping that this is applicable to the scenario that is what Jewish populations are facing from a poverty standpoint. We don't expect all of the ideas to be fully baked. We understand it. sometimes the best ideas are not fully baked. And so you have to kind of take that into consideration as you fill out your application. It's okay to be a little bit vulnerable with your idea. That's what the program is for. If things are too perfect, you might be too far along, and it defeats the whole purpose of having a program like this. To provide a little bit more color on Startco, our roots were originally started in terms of building technology startups in the Memphis region as a means to grow Memphis from an economic development standpoint. But what we noticed was the types of ideas and concepts that were walking through our doors, and a lot of them were social enterprises and civic sector ideas because of the challenges that Memphis is facing economically, socially, politically, et cetera. And so we've kind of broadened our scope. Our clients range from not just startup companies, but governments and municipalities, universities, nonprofits, and several corporations in the Memphis region that range from FedEx to ServiceMaster to International Paper. So we're bringing a lot of unique perspective to the table to hopefully bring some outside input to your agencies if they are selected to go through this program. To walk you through kind of the three phases of the program, the whole premise of these incubation programs is to try to squeeze as much entrepreneurial building into a short period of time as possible, and to have a layer of support walking you through it. We call it the three Ds. There's a discovery phase, there's a delivery phase, and there's a dollars phase. And I'm gonna walk you through what those phases are. The discovery phase is based around what's called customer discovery. And many times we don't want to just be reliant on primary and secondary research, what we just looked up online or at the library, et cetera. We want to get out and talk to our actual customer segments and get feedback on your idea or your concept. And when we're talking to those customer segments, and you may have several, you might have the person who is the served community. You might have a funder. You might have partners. But we're testing four hypotheses around your idea. And the first hypothesis is the problem. You know, do they agree with your problem set? Can they provide you feedback to your problem? Maybe we're focusing on the wrong problem or the wrong subset of the problem, and we want to get that feedback. Second, we want to look at the solution. And this is the idea, and we want to make sure in the very early stages, we have a lot of ideas. There's a lot of features to the idea, and what we want to do is grab on to the 20% of those features that satisfies 80% of your customers. And so a lot of times this is about subtraction, you know, not addition, and you want to figure out what that solution set is, talk to your potential customers, and get feedback from them. Many times they don't like your idea. They give you feedback that tells you, hey, this doesn't work. This is what I'm more concerned about. And what you want to do is, as you talk to more of those customers, you start to find commonalities and you adjust your solution or your idea based upon it. When you work a little bit further through it, just because they agree with your problem or they agree with your solution, you still don't have a service model yet. And now we have to really think about who's going to pay for it. And we have to think about, is there a business model that sits in here? Are these funders or philanthropies going to support it? And we want to get out there and make sure that there is a tangible model to get this thing funded and off the ground. You know, if you go a step further from there, then we also want to think about how we reach our customer segments and how do we get them to adopt the solution that we're presenting. So the four hypotheses is problem, solution, price or value, and what's it worth to get funded, but then also looking at, you know, your go-to-market channels and the adoption or behavior of your actual customer segments. And what we recommend is you go on customer interviews and you talk to 50 per customer segment, and we triage that in subsets of 10. So every time you talk to 10 potential customers or clients that you serve, you bring the feedback back and we whiteboard out and we start to adjust your overall concept and model based upon that feedback. You go through this process and you start to realize that your idea or your solution is changing. And this is very important because it's changing based on real-time feedback from your actual served populations. And this sets the stage for what we call is the delivery phase. Can you actually build your interventions? A lot of times we'll just secure the funding and launch a program, but we want to run small experiments to learn from those experiments, which will tend our assumptions. And so we go through a prototyping phase. Can we actually draw out the service, run a simulation, and get the feedback from it? And so we work with you in building the actual service or program that you have, and then we have to test it. And we put it in the hands of customers. We get the feedback from them, and then we adjust the overall solution and the concept that's out there. And so this is very important. This is a stage that many times is skipped. Because many people say, well, how do I run a simulation of the program or the service? And you'd be surprised. Having a simple event can really tell you who showed up. Did they not show up? What were they talking about when they showed up? Maybe there's just a workshop that you did that educated you on some of the things about your customers. So this is very important because it tightens the assumptions. You're not just reliant on the primary and secondary research. You're not just reliant on the discovery interviews that you do, but you're also bringing into account how people would respond to your service or your program. All of this sets the stage for the dollars phase and getting your assets or credentials together to go out and secure resources. And we will work with you through this. Better understanding your operational model, better understanding the business model that you have, being able to understand the actual competitive landscape that you're building in. Do you have bargaining power with your purchasers or your suppliers? Is it a crowded market that you're in? Are you dealing with political barriers, incumbent providers, prescriptive funding? Basically, better understanding the environments that you're in and what's the plan to be successful. At the end of the day, you have to secure the resources. And so we want to make sure you're very polished and you've thought through your assumptions and you have packaged it the right way. And then at the same time, we're connecting you to resources that we have and providing support along the way. So those are kind of the three phases. When we talk about discovery, we talk about delivery, we talk about dollars. The other piece of this is, there's a toolkit that we use called the Social Innovation Toolkit. It's based upon a book called The Power of Social Innovation by Stephen Goldsmith. He was the former mayor of Indianapolis. And sitting in that book and in that toolkit is really also understanding, you know, the social landscape that is out there. And I think it's important to understand, how are we looking at data? I think it's important to also understand the system providers that sit out there in the community. How crowded is the market that is out there? And what's the relationship among the other partners that we have in the community? And we have to understand how to break through some of these protectionist barriers that are out there. And so there's a lot of things in the social sector that's very different than in the for-profit sector that we have to grapple with. And we're here to provide a layer of support through that process. Typically, we're going to open up, the application is open. So you're going to be spending some time filling that out. I think the key there is to be as thorough as you possibly can. Typically, we would like to get on the phone with those who are applying so we can get to know you a little bit better and better understand what it is that you're working on to your communities. The process overall has to be customized and tailored to your particular agency and organization. There's no exact one size fits all. So the more that we learn about you, the better that we can support you. Typically, we have what we call a level set meeting, a foundational meeting that we kind of dig into your agency, understand the problems you're facing, understand what's going on within your organization. And then we set milestones and metrics that we have to accomplish throughout this program that sits out there. And we provide great direct engagement with your team. So you have to be thinking about who on your team is going to be doing this work and working through this type of program. That is very important. In terms of time commitment, I think that we need to understand that this does require work. It requires us to be able to dedicate folks to be able to work through this process and help us move forward. Typically, there's weekly or several times a month that we are working with you, triaging the information, helping you build things and move forward. And so now I'm going to switch into some of the program objectives. Basically, we want to be able to identify and help you launch these new or improved programs. It's not only just about social enterprises. I mean, most of you all are nonprofits, so it's not always a for-profit model. Typically, we work with about, we're looking to work with about six agencies over the next couple of years. So we're looking for 2 to 3 to start. A lot of this depends on, you know, readiness. Many times you have to be put yourselves in a position to go through this process. So you'll have to do some self-evaluation to say, are we ready to take this on today? Or do we want to take this on in a couple of months from now once some things settle down? This is very, very important. In terms of the application, I'm going to touch on some evaluation criteria and how we tend to look at it. There's kind of 3 or 4 areas: the idea, your team, readiness, and collaborations. When we talk about the idea, we want to kind of evaluate the idea. How feasible is it? What's the market demand that sits out there? Is there opportunity for scale? What are your channels that you're using to reach your customers? And what's the overall social landscape look like that you're building in? With regard to the team, who on your team can actually build what you're talking to build? Who understands that civic landscape and brings that experience and best practices to the table? And are you able to follow this process? You know, the research and the discovery and the experiments are going to basically inform you where to move forward to. There are some people who have natural bias within themselves. I mean, we all do sometimes, and many times they ignore what the research and the teachings are telling them. So this coachability is very, very important. And then who's able to build a viable model? Those are things that we want to look at as well. And then finally, looking at the time and resources that you're willing to commit to getting this built off the ground. Do you have the capacity to take this on is something that we need to talk about as well. Basically going to give a little bit in terms of kind of the timeline here. As Ruben had mentioned, we're doing these information sessions, one today, one on May the 10th. We can also receive questions via email. We're putting the application deadline by May 31st, and we'll start reviewing them as of that time. Then the phone interview phase will begin as of June the 10th, and we'll do that through June the 14th, where we'll get on the phone with you and talk with you about what you had submitted. And the week of June 17th, we'll make some selections. You know, basically through that process of the ones that we have decided to work with, we'll have to learn a little bit better on your timelines and how things look in terms of starting things out. Some of you will be very suited for a 3-month process. Others will be more suited for a 6-month process where we spread it out a little bit more, but we won't know that until we gather a little bit more information on your capabilities and what we're trying to do. Based upon the questions that you have today, we're gonna create an FAQ for the website, and we'll post a lot of those questions that are on there. And as we get more questions, we'll add that to the FAQ that sits out there. There's gonna be a recording, as Ruben had mentioned, of this session today, and we'll post that as well for others in case you wanna look back on it and gather more information. And pretty much, I think that's just a general overview of what we're trying to do to work with you through this particular process. And so let me just check in here with Mike or Ruben before we get into the questions. Are there any other things that you all want to add? But that was kind of the general overview of what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I will add is that intentionally, we did not review the written guidelines that were included with this meeting announcement. We spend quite a bit of time putting together a description of the challenge and the rationale behind the challenge and how the process works. And so the point of today was not to review that paragraph by paragraph, because we know that you can all do that on your own. It was to simply give you a general overview and to then open it up for discussion. And so that was what the goal was. I hope that we achieved that. We know that Andre spoke very quickly and said a ton in less than a half hour. So, Mike, before we open to questions, did you have any?
Yeah, just three points. One is we want you to be as ambitious as you feel comfortable in your new ideas. I've talked to enough of you to know that adding another resource, adding another caseworker, certainly can increase your results. But we're looking not for the 1+1=2, but the 1+1=6 or 7. We're looking for outsized results. And don't recognize that the process will bring this back kind of to reality, but we're looking for the sustainable, more ambitious, the almost what could we do if type solutions here. And the second is we use the term customer a lot here because that's comfortable to us, but we recognize that the discovery that Andre is talking about, the interacting with all of the parts and pieces required to make this happen, mean that you will be talking to your clients, you'll be talking to your potential funders, you'll be talking to collaborators, you'll be talking to others in your marketplace who could be potential partners or otherwise might even stand in the way of what you want to do. There's a lot of, this is an action-oriented approach, as opposed to a lot of us who may be a little more comfortable at our desks kind of doing research. There's going to be a bias towards action, a bias towards talking to people, a bias towards figuring it out in the marketplace. And so what comes in the front end might not be what comes out at the back end. In fact, it usually isn't, but hopefully the process will get you more informed and help you identify solutions that are superior to kind of what you've been doing today. So and we're really looking forward to seeing what people come up with.
So with that, we're going to open it up for questions. If anybody is comfortable verbally sharing a question for the whole group, feel free. You could unmute yourself or I could do it for you. And if not, if you'd rather, you could type them in to the chat box, whatever works. But we're opening it up now for Q&A.
And there's a couple questions sitting here in the queue. I want to make sure I answer them. One was about the name of the book that I had mentioned. That was called The Power of Social Innovation by Stephen Goldsmith. You could also Google that and it will pop up to the website. It actually has a social innovation toolkit that sits on there. We highly recommend reviewing that as kind of a Cliff Notes version to that book as well. That was one question. Another question is looking into what is the sweet spot for the actual ideas that are being submitted. I think the key to that is, you know, what can go through the process? And, you know, if it's too baked, meaning there's something that you've been working on already for 10 years, and you're not, you know, you're already kind of set in your ways, that doesn't make sense. But if it's a relatively new idea or new program that requires more discovery, and what do I mean by that? I mean, if your program is not being received by the marketplace as best as you hoped, it can go through this process, right? And then that's the thing, product market fit. If you're not fitting as best as you would hope, then that sets the stage for going through this discovery and prototyping and experimentation phase to hopefully put you in better position for growth and moving forward. So it doesn't have to be just an idea that you came up with yesterday. It could be something that you're already working on and maybe the idea could help improve it and move it forward. So I hope that provides a little bit more clarity there. Open to any other questions.
This is Matthew Bolton with Pittsburgh JFCS. Can you share any of the ideas that people have sent out already?
In terms of through the application?
Correct. Or just some of the initiatives that have been attractive to this program thus far. I wasn't able to attend the conference, and so I'm a little bit behind as far as some of the dialogue going on.
I'm not sure. I hadn't been asked that question, meaning to share what they're actually working on. I guess it would be okay to share what was happening at the conference. I'm not sure, Ruben and Mike, what you all think.
I'm comfortable sharing what went on at the conference. You should know that we have not received any applications yet. The application just opened. This is the first information meeting. So agencies are at the beginning of figuring out if they want to apply, what their concept might be. But there were over 30 ideas that were developed very quickly through a very brief a modified version of this process, incredibly brief. It was a 1-hour exercise at the conference. And so there were a range of ideas that were presented there.
And what, I don't think you missed anything substantive. What we tried to do at the conference was expose people to the tools. The goal being, if you could do this in an hour and accomplish, you know, what could you do in, you know, if you applied this diligently over a multi-month period of time. Having said that, one of the common threads of a couple of the ones that caught everyone's attention were people who took on challenges that I think a lot of folks had concluded weren't solvable, like housing. You know, certainly when we talk to people on the West Coast, the cost of housing, that is a major, major challenge. Or transportation, how do we get people cars? And it was interesting just to see that a number of people took that on, weren't scared of talking about it, even though, you know, the monetary aspect as we know it today is daunting, and still made some progress on those ideas. So it goes back to that. That's be ambitious, and that's see if we can solve the unsolvable here, or at least make some progress.
Are there any other questions that people would like to ask or pose today?
Ruben, right. I have a couple of comments.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Just have a couple of comments just to make sure if I wasn't clear earlier. Typically with programs like this, we are siding up next to you and getting in the trenches with you. There's probably an additional 60 to 80 hours of support that we're willing to help invest into whatever the program, the service, or the idea that you have. And so we're there to basically help guide you, provide some programming, some one-on-one mentorship if you need it, and also help solve problems. Many times the actual idea is one thing, but then building the actual model around the idea requires a level of intensity, and we're there to help you kind of work through that. So just kind of keep that in mind. You know, we're almost kind of there with you going through, you know, the trenches to help you build or improve this existing program. And so, you know, just kind of be keeping that in mind as you're thinking about what you're submitting, who's going to be dedicated to it. You'll have a full team of people at your disposal to just provide support and help you. And that ranges from everything from civic design to building the right business model to marketing. You know, and support. And then also some serial entrepreneurs on our team who have been through it before and have had successful programs that they have launched as well. And so sometimes we just need someone to lean on throughout the process to provide that outside perspective. So it's just giving you a little bit more color there.
One other point in all this is a common thread in some of the more interesting ones were meaningful collaborations. Certainly in our discussions leading up to the conference with Weinberg, with others, with individual groups, it becomes clear that there are so many vulnerabilities that could cause someone, even given all of the greatest resources, to backslide into poverty. And very few organizations have the resources and the expertise to backstop all of them. And so what kind of meaningful collaborations do you establish in your region to be able to offer a more comprehensive, more sustainable solution? And I think that certainly will be a component of how this potentially gets done. And so those collaborations will almost certainly be very important.
I also just want to note, because agencies have asked me directly about this, we are calling this the Jewish Poverty Challenge. We are not expecting that 100% of the clients served through the initiative will be Jewish, but we are looking for at least 50%, at least half of the clients served will be Jewish. And we're also looking for an understanding of how you are proposing to address dynamics that are unique in the Jewish community that perhaps keep those clients from requesting help or create challenges with rabbis in the community or with other Jewish institutions in the community, or whatever the dynamic is, the stigma that often accompanies the Jewish community in facing the dynamics of addressing poverty. We're looking for some level of response, some awareness to address those dynamics. And, you know, you're all each other's best help as well. There's nothing stopping you from calling a sister agency in the network to say, I learned about this initiative that you're involved with. I'd love to learn more. That happens all the time anyway. And you could always call me directly as well. But there's nothing wrong with reaching out to a sister agency that you think is running a program in this space that is intriguing to you and you just want to learn more about it. Whether or not that factors into your application, it could give you, as part of your research process, good background and context. Any final comments, questions?
So I have a question for you, Ruben. I kind of know the answer. It's sort of a setup. Can you speak a little bit about your impression on this project's potential relationship to Weinberg's interest in this topic?
Right.
And I know that's not an answer, but I think we're all sort of wondering about
that. Yeah. So the Weinberg Foundation has acknowledged that its historic funding of Jewish poverty, of different community responses to Jewish poverty, have not really moved the needle sufficiently. That Jewish poverty is increasing in many pockets, that populations within the Jewish community continue to struggle. And so they have determined a need to elevate the issue, and they're looking to fund models that speak to innovations in this space. That being said, they're not guaranteeing any funding to anything that immediately comes out of this initiative. They are looking to learn, they're looking to spark some interest. They very well may end up funding a project that comes out of this, but it's not an implied guarantee that dollars will follow from the Weinberg Foundation exclusively. I don't know how else to say it. They're not part of this meeting. It's awkward for me to speak for them, but they are not guaranteeing it. What they are guaranteeing, though, is they are prepared to elevate the topic to the point that they have formed what they're calling a Jewish Poverty Affinity Group of the Jewish Funders Network. They've invited agencies as well as funders to be part of this group. The commitment for attending the group and joining that effort is that whoever sits at that table agrees to do more in the space. So if you're a social service agency, by coming to that table, you are agreeing to serve more clients, more members of the Jewish community who are living with poverty. If you are a funder, you are agreeing to fund more. If you are somebody in the media, you're agreeing to write more about this. If you're in academia, to study more. So they're hoping through that process that more institutions and entities will become engaged and actively engaged in this issue, so that there very well may be other funding sources that will be issuing RFP as a result of it. They do want to know what comes out of this, and they want to be a partner to us as we go down this journey, but they're not committing today to funding because they don't even know what's going to come out of it yet. So
thanks. As unclear as that is, I think it's simply helpful to have those words as part of this conversation, even though they're parallel tracks.
They are in parallel tracks. The timing is very fortuitous for the network, for you all, and for the Weinberg Foundation. They're thrilled that we're doing this at the same time that they're doing what they're doing. I'm pretty much assuming that there will be some synergies at some point, but they're not ready to say yes to this or no to that. I will let you know also in terms of the selection committee, the selection committee who's going to review the applications consists of right now of four members of our board, the network board, who do not represent agencies. These are individuals who sit on the board, who are stakeholders and interested advocates and supporters of the Jewish human service sector, but they are not representing member agencies of the network. And in addition, Mike and Andre are also reviewing applications, and myself. So there's a collective bias-free, impartial team reviewing the applications that come through. Any other questions, comments, wonderings? Okay, so as I indicated before, we will have a recording of this. We're going to type up the questions. You know, you can feel free to reach out to anybody if you'd like to talk individually. We will be reaching out to you as well if you decide to submit an application. And we're just really thrilled for your interest, and we're excited to build this together. Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.